its glass curved and fitted with perfect precision. The furniture floated. Sintop picked a floating chair with a good view of the Eternal City and dropped into it. As programmed, a floating table glided into place before him. Thanos knew that there were rituals when one received a guest in one's home. He'd never performed those rituals, nor had he been on the receiving end, but he had read about them, and so he sent one of his enhanced toddler androids, now programmed to act as a servant, to the larder to fetch cakes and honey water while Thanos stood, hands clasped behind his back, in silence. For his part, Sintas sat comfortably, scrutinizing Thanos with an inscrutable grin. "I thought," he began, but Thanos stopped him with a raised hand.
"Custom dictates we wait for refreshment."
Sintas shrugged. A moment later, the android returned, bearing a tray of food and drink. Taking the tray, Thanos paused in the presence of his former friend.
"Why have you come here, Sinta? My father's obligation to your family is complete."
Sinta's expression soured. "Ever since you told him you knew about his deal with my parents, your father hasn't let me see you. I tried a few times, but he always blocked me. He was either here or nearby, or by the time I knew he wasn't around, it was too late. So when I heard he would be gone for a few days, I came right away." Thanos placed the tray on the table and then sat opposite Sinta.
"Why?"
Sinta chuckled and shook his head.
"Because, you ugly purple cuss, I actually like you. You're my friend, and it's long past time for you to have more than one friend of your own. You live up here in isolation, trapped in your father's titanium palace, and you don't even know how to interact with people. So I'm going to lend you some of my friends. All right?"
"I don't believe that is part of the deal with Alars."
"To hell with Alars," Sinta said, with pleasant satisfaction, as though he'd been waiting years to say exactly that and had just figured out how. "He never had a deal with me. Do you understand? He had a deal with my parents. Everything here." At this point, he gestured back and forth between them. "Was real. Real."
The reality of his friendship with Sinta had always seemed fraught and fragile. Thanos steepled his fingers before him and leaned in, thinking. He couldn't imagine a scenario in which it would profit Sinta to lie to him. Not about this. He applied his mighty brain to the task and realized, in a stunning blast of epiphany, that he did not need to apply his brain to this. This was not the matter of the flavor of quarks or the spin of electrons or the reactions of enzymes or the cleavage planes of crystals. This was a matter of emotion. Logic could not apply. It did not apply.
"You're my friend," he said very slowly.
Sinta applauded and even pursed his lips for a loud, piercing whistle.
"He got it! Ladies and gentlemen, the boy genius of Titan figured it out."
His skin could not betray a blush, but Thanos felt the blood rush to his cheeks nonetheless. He turned his head away.
"You dolt."
"A dolt who has an evening planned."
Sinta bolted out of his chair and grabbed Thanos by the arm.
"Come on."
The sky never truly darkened over the Eternal City. The city itself seemed made of light, its bright surfaces limned with light-emitting piping that brightened even as the daylight dimmed. They walked from the Mentorplex. The sky was cluttered with aero-rafts and floaters, thick with artificial congestion. The landbound walkways were no better. Thanos, too tall and too broad, was aware of how disconcerting his presence was. The population of the cluttered, jammed walkways tried to give him a wide berth, stepping aside as he passed, stepping into and onto one another. Still, he found his elbows and his shoulders knocking people aside, his feet stepping on others' feet. He tried to ignore it, focused on something else. He wondered what would happen if there were suddenly an emergency, if all of these people had to run. It would be madness.
"It's so crowded, worse than it used to be,"
Thanos complained.
"I don't usually get to venture out this far. I didn't realize. From above, it's hard to tell.
And this is why you should come outside every now and again. Sinta joked at his side, shoving his way through a clutch of people headed the other way.
I thought it was bad when we were kids, but this...
It will get better when Mentorplex 2 and 3 are built, Sinta said. What your father lacks in parenting skills, he makes up for in city planning, I have to admit. The overflow will be directed up, as always.
Thanos grunted something affirmative. His father had designed the Eternal City, had overseen the terraforming of Titan into a livable place. As distant and as unforgiving as his father could be, Thanos had to remind himself that the man had responsibilities that would crush lesser men to paste. Alars could be forgiven his endless distractions and neglects. Thanos found himself smiling, much to his surprise. 15 minutes in Sinta's presence and he was already much happier. In the entertainment district, Sinta guided them through a crowd to a club, where light and shadow pulsed in time to bass-heavy music. Thanos paused, much to the anger and frustration of the throngs trying to make their way along the walkway.
A club? Thanos rumbled. What do you think I am, Sinta?
I think you're a deadly dull killjoy who's never had a moment that wasn't devoted to figuring something out, Sinta said. I think you need some time to be with other people, and to stop thinking so much. Maybe even do something crazy and radical, like kiss someone?
Thanos barked with horrified laughter.
Kiss someone? Have you lost your mind? Look at me. Look at them.
He gestured at the Titans who flowed around him, doing their best not to look too long or too closely at the mutated thing in their midst. Sinta waved away his concern like a bad smell.
One kiss and you'll forget all about these provincial idiots and their base prejudices. You've spent your life letting your father convince you that you're worthless, that your size and your appearance make you a monster, and because he's a big deal and because he's important, if he believes it, everyone else does too.
Thanos opened his mouth to speak, but Sinta silenced him with a gesture.
None of that's your fault. It's his. But trust me, when you kiss someone, you feel it, the connection. The intertwined nature of it all. You're part of Titan, Thanos, and I'm going to prove it to you. Tonight.
Thanos allowed himself to be ushered inside. People stared as he squeezed through the door, which was too low for him and narrowed by a cluster of loiterers. Inside, the air was thick and close, and the club had gone dead quiet. The music was only outside. The inside was soundproofed. It felt as though walking through the door immediately submerged him in a vacuum, cutting off all sound. He put his hands over his ears for a moment, heard the reliable thud of his own heartbeat, and relaxed a bit. The claustrophobia of it took a moment's adjustment. It was a so-called silencurium, a quiet club, where sound was forbidden, eliminated through the use of acoustically null flooring. On the central dance floor, a pulsating globe of multicolored light flashed and throbbed as bodies gyrated and ground against one another in a languorous, indecorous pantomime. The silence was so loud as to be deafening. Utter quiet, utter lack of sound. It was a wholly impressionistic place. With no music to guide them, the dancers moved as their bodies dictated, and their motions were interpreted freely by the onlookers. There were as many shows going on as there were people in attendance. Sinta led him to a table where two young women waited. One, a green-haired beauty with flickering hollow tattoos at the corners of her eyes, lit up at the sight of Sinta, gaped her mouth in a silent squeal, and threw her arms around him. Clearly he was mated, at least temporarily, with the green-haired girl. Sinta gestured for Thanos to join them at the table. The other girl wore her hair close-cropped and red like a ripe cherry, her skin pale yellow and speckled with green dots. She offered him a shy smile and moved enough that he was able to sit between her and Sinta. He longed to speak, but the rules and science of the silencurium forbade it. So he sat in silence, hands clasped in his lap, and watched the whirling and twisting of the revelers. Even the dance floor seemed too crowded, bodies colliding in tranquility. Sinta and the two girls wore polychromatic jumpsuits with holographic piping down the legs that shifted colors,
and transparent epaulets filled with a viscous fluid that languidly copied their shoulder movements. It was the fashion, and most of the dancers wore similar outfits. Skin-tight leggings that shifted color and brightness, neon-bright elbow patches, knee-high boots with flickering hollow detailing. Wearing prosaic, stayed pants and a tunic in deep blue, Thanos felt even more out of place. But as time passed and as everyone's attention remained on the dancers, his unease abated and his shoulders lost their rigidity. Compared with the bustle and noise of the world outside, the silent curium was a haven. He'd heard of sensory deprivation experiences before, but this place merged deprivation with sensory immersion, turning off the sound so the other senses came more alive. He turned to the girl next to him, and she offered him another smile. He tried out his own, cognizant, as always, of the way his misshapen chin distorted his expression. A robot drifted by, a platter hovering before it on which stood several glasses. The girl held out a hand to stop the robot, then grabbed two drinks and fingerprinted a transaction. She offered one of the drinks to Thanos with a questioning mien. He took it, studied it, sipped. It was green, bubbly, and too sweet, tasting of melon and elderberries and ethyl alcohol. Still, she drank, so he did too. They watched the dance floor for a time, the bodies moving as though triggered by hidden signals, contorting and twisting in time to the pulse of the light globe. Shadows leaped and shivered on the walls and ceiling and floor, reconfiguring as the dancers shifted, paused, shifted again. Thanos was lost in it, in the sheer artistry of it, in the impeccable timing and press of it. Outside, the bodies crushed together were inconvenient and hassled. Within, they were art. He lost track of time, sinking into individual moments. And then there was a touch on the back of his hand, a light skim of sensation. It was his companion, who regarded him quizzically. "Outside?" she mouthed. He looked over at Cinta, who raised an eyebrow and nodded. Thanos rose. To his surprise, she took his hand and led him through the crowd to the door. Outside, the sudden noise assaulted him as though it were a physical thing. He winced in pain. Footsteps, music, throats cleared, voices raised. A mélange of sounds, all blending into a sonic battering ram attacking his senses. She stood with him, holding his hand as he readjusted to the world of noise again. "It's hard the first time," she said when he finally cleared his mind and looked over at her. "The adjustment," she clarified. It was the first time he'd heard her voice. There was, he admitted, nothing special about it. And yet he wanted to hear more of it.
"Speak more," he told her.
She laughed.
"The genius has never heard of small talk."
"No, but I enjoy the sound of your voice. Am I supposed to offer a subject for discussion?"
She shook her head.
"It's all right. My mother tells me I never shut up, so it's nice to have someone who actually wants to listen."
She paused.
"So, the famous Thanos, son of Alars."
"Son of Suisan," he told her. "How could you tell?"
It was an attempt at levity, and it worked. Her eyes danced with merriment.
"You just look like a Thanos, I guess. Not a Jera or a Dion or a..."
"Cinta?"
he asked, looking over his shoulder for a moment. Cinta was still inside the silent curium.
"Definitely a Thanos," she said. She cocked her head. "In this light, your skin doesn't even look purple."
He didn't know how to respond. The mutation of multiples of his solute carrier genes that had resulted in his purple phenotype was no fault of his own. And yet he had been ashamed and embarrassed by it his whole conscious life.
"Then I suppose I like the light here," he told her.
She shrugged.
"I like purple. It's my favorite color."
He blinked, then blinked again. Was this why Cinta had chosen her to sit with him tonight? Because his skin color wasn't abhorrent to her? To say purple was her favorite color? On Titan,
That was akin to saying that death was her favorite part of life. As he pondered this, she regarded him with something like amusement. Finally, as though she had been holding her breath, she exclaimed, "Do you really not remember me?"
He froze.
"Remember you?"
He'd met precious few people in his life, as isolated as he was. How could it be possible that he wouldn't remember one of them?
"I'm Gwynth," she told him. "Gwynth Fallar, from your infamous 4 hours of formal schooling?"
The memory rushed at him. The projection of his blood, the pinprick that set off screams, and the girl who had so innocently and without recrimination asked about his purple skin.
"You look so different," he said.
Somewhat lamely, he realized, too late. She laughed almost musically.
"That happens. You look the same, just bigger. I can't believe it's really you. It's so amazing to see you again."
He shook her hand, taking great care not to squeeze too hard.
"I am pleased to meet you, Gwynth Fallar. Again."
"Cinta says you're a genius."
"Cinta says many things."
"So you're not?"
He found himself enjoying this thing. It was called banter, wasn't it? The pleasing wordplay between two people. He'd heard of it, but had only become used to using words to argue with his father, or to issue commands to androids.
"I didn't say that. I just said Cinta says many things."
Her mouth quirked up on one side, and she seemed to chuckle. They moved into the crowd and walked together, still holding hands. The masses parted for them. The looks of shock and disgust were unavoidable, and Thanos felt obliged to apologize to her for the ugly glares in her direction. She merely shrugged.
"When Cinta told us he was friends with you," she said, "none of us believed him."
"Could you not believe that I was capable of having a friend? Or was it that you didn't think I could tolerate him?"
She laughed.
"You're funny, and you're not trying to be, which makes it even funnier. We just didn't believe him, is all. Everyone knew about you. You went away, but you were still famous."
"Notorious, more likely," he told her.
She chuckled the notion away.
"Our parents talked all the time, especially when they knew you would be at our school, and then after you left, about how Alars and Sui-san gave birth to a..."
Gwynth trailed off.
"I have heard all the words before,"
he assured her.
"Monstrosity, perhaps? Grotesquerie? Deviant?"
"We're not our parents,"
she whispered, eyes downcast.
"We don't hate and fear just because something is different."
She scowled at a passerby who stared, open-mouthed, at them.
"Not like these imbeciles, who can't let things go, who are afraid because it's easier than thinking."
"Their fear is understandable," he said,
surprised to find himself taking their side against him.
"And even logical, from an evolutionary standpoint. Tribal safety relies on keeping outside elements at a remove. Fear and hatred of the different or the distinct makes sense."
"Maybe thousands of years ago, when we lived shorter lives and had no medicine,"
she argued.
"But now, it's a vestige of our past. It's prejudice without a point."
He stopped walking for a moment and looked down at her. She smiled sardonically.
"I'm no genius, but I'm not an idiot either. Stop defending the people who hate you."
Thanos pulled her through the crowd and found a platform that jutted out above the walkway. It was a landing pad for cleaning bots, but currently empty. With his big hands around her waist, he lifted her to the platform, then clambered up himself. Below them, the crowd filled in the space that they had taken up, swallowing it whole, making it seem as though they'd never even been there.
"I can't find it in me to hate them back," he told her. "Until I met you, I thought only Cinta did not hate and fear me."
Sadness clouded her eyes.
"Really? Only Cinta? What about your father?"
Thanos shook his head.
"Alars does not fear me, and truthfully I do not believe he hates me. But he is disgusted by me."
"What a hypocrite," she said with heat. "He's your father. You're from him."
Thanos considered.
That is probably why he feels so much disgust.
He pointed into the distance, to the Mentorplex.
See his works. See them all around you. This city is his true child, the child he always dreamed of, beautiful and perfect and meticulous and obedient.
And overcrowded, Gwynth said dryly. With a chuckle, Thanos gestured to the skeletal sketch that was the beginning of Mentorplex 2.
He will fix that, too.
And then, a sensation he'd never experienced before. A touch on his face. His furrowed chin, to be exact. Her hand, tiny and delicate against the heft of his jaw, felt soft and smooth. Thanos tilted his head just slightly, leaning into her cupping palm. Do you kiss? She asked. Answers warred along his tongue, fighting to escape his lips. Bravado, machismo, deflection, agreement. He settled on honesty.
I would like to.
She said nothing, merely leaned up to him, then pressed her lips to his.
When you kiss someone, you feel it, the connection, the intertwined nature of it all.
Cinta's promise rang through his mind, over and over. Kissing Gwynth, Thanos felt the moist, yielding pressure of her lips, her breath warm against his cheek, and he felt joy. He named the emotion before he could be sure, then confirmed it. Joy. In those seconds that their lips pressed together, he experienced the first true happiness of his life. It was as though the combination of the two of them made something new, something unknowable until that very instant. His heart was just an organ, just a sophisticated biological pump, evolved from the primitive coelom of early multicellular organisms. And yet it seemed to sing from just that kiss.
What are you thinking?
She asked him, eyes sparkling as they pulled apart.
I'm not,
he said, as though stunned.
For the first time in my life, I'm not thinking at all.
He pondered.
And you? After kissing the infamous Thanos?
It's like kissing anyone else,
she marveled, as though uncovering a miracle. He laughed with her. His mood, his spirit, both lightened. And then he realized something. Something old and new at the same time. A blunt wedge of knowledge came between them.
I have to go,
he told her.
I apologize, but there's something that I have to do.
Now?
She goggled at him. He did not give her time to protest further. He held her down from the platform and then left her there in the crowd, pushing his way through, grateful for the first time in his life for the way people recoiled and moved away from him.
Thanos!
She shouted, lost behind him.
Thanos!
He ignored her. He had no choice. A puzzle piece lost for his lifespan now turned up, and when slipped into place revealed possibilities at last. Chapter 5 The Psychosylum had not changed in the years since Thanos had set foot within it, but his understanding of it had changed. As a child, he'd thought it was a place for those who, like his mother, had illnesses of the mind that could not be cured. A place built and tended to by Alars out of compassion for the less fortunate of Titan. But in the days after his last visit here, he'd learned the truth. The Psychosylum existed because of and exclusively for Sui-san. She was its sole patient, its only ward. Alars had built it and maintained it not out of generosity of spirit, but out of disgust and evasion. He'd shoved Sui-san in there and left her. And now, here, an entire building devoted to the care of one person, Sui-san, the runaway mother, the mad Titan. How long Thanos wondered, had Alars considered a similar fate for his grotesquerie of a son? How had Thanos avoided a cell alongside his poor mother? Sheer luck? Surely not a father's mercy. Alars had none.
My brain, Thanos thought.
Alars had recognized his offspring's intelligence and thought it might be useful. That was the only logical reason to keep Thanos around. In the years since his birth, Thanos had yet to prove himself worthy of that leniency to his father's satisfaction. How much longer would Alars suffer his presence? The kiss with Gwynth had awakened him to the possibility of belonging, of family, of love. Thanos feared the isolation room more than he feared losing his own life, and so until now he'd never returned. But there was the kiss. The kiss that made him realize that he could fit in, he could belong, he deserved to belong. Cinta had once told him that all living things had mothers. Thanos knew there was a hollow spot at his core, the place that was supposed to be filled with his mother and her love. He hadn't thought he'd deserved those things, but Gwynth, with her kindness and her kiss, had proved him wrong. He had to see Suisan and seek that connection and at least try. If nothing else, he would get a DNA sample from his mother. She might not tell him what he wanted to hear or know. She might not even speak to him. But at the very least, he would get that DNA. Figure out what had happened to him within her womb. And maybe, just maybe, fix himself. Licking his lips, Thanos entered the hospital. A wave of memory struck him, dripped from him, puddled at his feet. What had seemed large and bright when he was a child now seemed cramped and dim. The sound swallowing walls were to keep Suisan's screams from leaving the building, he now understood. Fingers splayed, he pressed one hand against the yielding wall, feeling it give against him. How many cries for help had these walls ingested? A flame of hatred burst in his chest. This could not pass. His position in society, to the contrary, Alars could not get away with treating his spouse this way. Thanos made his way to the welcome room he'd entered as a child. Then he'd had a child's understanding, a child's tenuous grasp on his temper and emotions. Now he was nearly a man. A synthetic biped stood before him, garbed in the same black tunic as the doctor he'd beaten years ago. It seemed identical. The same one, or merely the latest version of that model? His hands suddenly felt clammy. Sweat, not the biofuel he'd mistaken for blood all those years ago. Still, the memory was tangible and potent. Thanos, the synth said in a disapproving tone. I was told you were coming. He parsed the sentence.
Security sensors detected your presence and transmitted it to my synthetic cortex, which then ran a pre-programmed subroutine. Because your father thought of everything, including your trying this again.
Stifling his anger at Alars, Thanos instead forced himself to recall his father's words from ages ago.
The doctor... There's a new synthetic life form I bred specifically to care for your mother, designed with enhanced empathy and compassion. Congratulations, Thanos. You bludgeoned to death something that was not truly alive, and something that was designed from the start not to know how to fight back.
Enhanced empathy and compassion. Spreading his arms wide in a gesture of peace and humility, Thanos said,
I'm so sorry for intruding. I mean no harm or disrespect.
It was just a moment, but the synth's hesitation told Thanos that it was switching its response parameters. Now that he knew he was dealing with something artificial, something programmed, he could manipulate it as if he were executing code. You haven't hurt anyone, the synth said gently.
I need your help.
Thanos spoke with as pitiful and needy a tone of voice as he could muster without descending into outright whining.
Enhanced empathy and compassion.
He He was deliberately triggering the synth's help and aid protocols by appearing weak, defenseless, and in need of assistance.
"Please,"
he said.
"Please help me. I need your help."
The synth tilted its head to one side. "My directives are to ask you to leave."
"I want to leave,"
Thanos lied smoothly.
"But I can't. I need your help in order to go."
The synth offered its version of a smile. "I would be happy to help you in that endeavor, Thanos." Thanos nodded gravely.
"I want to leave, but I can't. Not until I've spoken with Sui-san. Won't you please help me?"
The synth shook its head, but Thanos detected microspasms in its eyes as its BioWare attempted to reconcile its now conflicting missions. Help people, don't let Thanos in. They were incompatible directives.
"Please,"
Thanos said, and considered dropping to his knees. Such theatricality, though, would have been anticipated by Alars, who had no doubt programmed against it. Thanos would need something beyond empty and easily recognizable gestures.
"I need your help if I am to be whole again,"
he said. The words tumbled out of him without forethought, and they were so damned true for the lack of guile.
"I've never known my mother. Never even seen her except in dreams. I want to know her, to know myself, to understand. Please,"
he said again.
"Please let me see her. Let me speak to her. She's the only one who can tell me who and what I am. The only one who cares."
The synth's eyes vibrated back and forth, then jittered up and down. Its expression went from neutral to soothing to stern, and then, just when Thanos had given up, its mouth wrung itself into a simulation of a smile. "Of course, Thanos. Let me escort you." It took little time, the hospital being a smallish affair designed for a single occupant. The synth led Thanos down a corridor and around a bend. Along the way, he saw other synths, dressed similarly, all of whom nodded pleasantly and vacantly to him. "Here," said the synth, and gestured to a door. Thanos thumbed the control, but nothing happened. The synth happily thumbed the pad for him, and the door slid up. Thanos hesitated. "This is her room," the synth said with bright confidence. He knew. He knew that this was her room. And yet suddenly his feet would not move. "Are you ill?" the synth asked. "I can procure medication if necessary. Describe your symptoms." The synth's solicitous tone had grated on his last nerve. That, more than anything else, unglued his feet and propelled him into the room before the door shut. It was small and well lit. The walls were soft, and that datum alone told him volumes about his mother's condition. Soft walls meant that she tended to fling herself at them. There was a bed floating against one wall, but no other furniture. No personal belongings that he could identify. A wave of rage toward Alars swelled in his breast. His mother was not being treated. She was being warehoused. Like old furniture. Warehoused here, right in front of him. For the first time ever, he beheld her. His first thought was,
"She's beautiful."
Maybe children were predisposed to find their parents pleasing to look at. He didn't think so. He found Alars entirely average in appearance. His mother, though, was exceptional. Even in this constrained, antiseptic setting, her beauty shone. Her skin glowed, and her hair seemed fluid, a spill of black ink cascading over her shoulders. Looking at her, he found himself thinking what no doubt everyone in the world thought.
"How could something so beautiful have given birth to me?"
She sat on the floor, legs crossed, hands resting on her knees. Her eyes were closed and her breathing was even. He immediately reconsidered his rage at Alars. She seemed in good health, at peace, relaxed. Perhaps this denuded environment suited her. Low sensory stimulation, nothing to upset her. As he watched, her head tilted gently side to side and up and down, tracing a relaxed infinity symbol. She was humming ever so slightly. He took a step toward her and cleared his throat. Her eyes opened slowly, dreamily.
Mother? It's me, your child, Thanos.
Her head continued its lazy sideways figure eight, her eyes focused on absolutely nothing. He came closer and, with tenderness and a gentle touch, took her chin between his thumb and forefinger, guiding her attention to his face.
Mother?
He said again. Her eyes still had not focused. The pupils were pinpricks.
Mother, I'm here. Here to help you.
And her eyes snapped into focus on him. They widened as she drew in a horrified breath. In an instant, she slapped his hand away from her and scrabbled backward, scuttling away like a crab, her indrawn breath now exploding out in a shriek of terror. Thanos checked over his shoulder but remembered the pliant, sound-absorbing walls. No one would hear.
Mother,
he said again, holding out both hands to show he meant no harm.
Mother, it's your son, your child.
You,
she gasped, coming up short against a wall.
You? I saw you. I've seen your face.
Yes, when I was born. You held me, didn't you?
Tears glimmered in his eyes as he crept closer to her, moving slowly so as not to frighten her further. She drew in another breath, squeezing herself into a corner.
You're a demon,
she cried.
You're death. I saw it in your eyes. It crawled out of your ears and bled on my bare bosom when you were born. You are death. You are death.
One hand outstretched to smooth her hair back from her brow. Thanos froze at her words.
Mother.
He wiped the incipient tears from his eyes.
Mother, no. I'm just your son.
Death!
She screamed, curling into a tight ball, knees clutched to her chest, face buried.
Death, death, death! You breathe it, you eat it, and sweat it out. You are death, death, death!
She said it over and over, until the words blurred and merged into a single, repeated nonsense syllable, her teeth clacking together on the D so violently that he was astonished they did not break out of her mouth. Every time he tried to approach her, to comfort her, she threw back her head and howled, a high keening sound that drilled through his ears and into his soul. Backing away, he froze in the center of the room. He could not help her, but he could not leave her in such a state. Could he? Eventually, feeling behind him, he slid the door open and stumbled out into the corridor, where the synth waited for him patiently.
She needs your help,
he managed to say. And the synth immediately rushed into the room, followed by two identical ones. They crouched by Sui-san and administered a dose of a bright blue medication. Thanos watched until the door automatically slid shut, cutting off sight and sound. Outside, Thanos nearly collapsed, catching himself with one hand on the outer wall of the psychosylum. His mother. His own mother. He hadn't even obtained a DNA sample. He had been so anguished, so cowardly. Such a puling little boy, fleeing at the first sign of trouble. He gnashed his teeth and struck the wall with one large fist. It was a thermic wall reinforced with an exotic rigid steel alloy, and it yielded not in the slightest. He punched it again, then did it again, and again, and again, until the waves of pain reached his elbow and his fingers went numb. Tilting his head up, he caught a glimpse of the panoply of stars in the arcs of space that framed Hyperion, Titan's dwarfish, deformed sibling, a wart on the night sky. Sinking to his knees, he braced himself against the wall. A great darkness overcame him, followed by a great weakness. The world swam and blurred, the colors blending together. When he found the strength to look up, the sky had gone awash in puddles of color, reflections from the city's lights melding with the black of space, the white speckles of stars, the bluish hue of Hyperion. They were no longer separate and distinct things. They had merged. They were of a piece. They connected, and they belonged. He thought of earlier that night, of the touch of Gwynth's lips. Damn it all, he was connected too. He was not an outcast. He was a part of Titan, whether Titan wanted it so or not. He loved Titan, even if Titan hated him. It would be easy to meet hate with hate, and fear with fear. Flexing feeling back into his fingers, balling his fists, he knew that he could be more than Hyperion to Titan. He could contribute. For now, there was nothing he could do for Suisan. Her madness was beyond his knowledge and his abilities. For now. He would meet fear with love. His father had told him there was nothing he could do to change the way Titan saw him, so he realized that instead he must change. Perhaps there would be reciprocity. Perhaps not. But it was better than nothing. At the worst, he would help people and never be appreciated for it. But they would still have his help, even if they learned only how to conceal their hate and fear behind a curtain of benign and anodyne neglect. He would channel the love of his missing, demented mother. He would love Titan and everyone on it, for no other reason than because he could. Thanos returned home. He had work to do. Chapter 6. It took him more than an hour to travel the 16 blocks home on the crowded streets and walkways. The skyways were clogged too, so thick with vehicles as to create a canopy that blotted out the sky in great moving patches. Eventually, these people would have their new homes in Mentorplex 2 and 3, he thought. The overflow will be directed up, Cinta had said. Thanos stopped dead in his tracks at the entrance to Mentorplex. The overflow will be directed up. He stood there, immovable. Titans pressed around him, desperately avoiding even a mere brush against him. His whole life, he'd known there was something wrong with Titan. But he'd never truly tried to figure out what it was. Now he could rectify that oversight, he decided.
The overflow will be directed up.
The fatal flaw at Titan's core. He understood it now. And if he could wrench Titan's rotten tumor from itself and leave behind the healthy tissue, then maybe attitudes like Gwynth's would flourish. They would see him as an equal, not a predator. The elevator systems in Mentorplex were artificially intelligent. They balanced their own traffic and could deposit a resident at the appropriate floor among 500 in less than 30 seconds. That was 30 seconds too long. Thanos burst from the elevator and exploded into his apartment. In the distance, the cryovolcanoes simmered and brooded. But Thanos had no time for their beauty. He flung himself into the chair at his desk and began to work.
The overflow will be directed up. The overflow will be directed up. Not if I can help it, he thought.
Alars returned from his trip in a fury. The domicile's artificial intelligence alerted Thanos to his father's presence as soon as Alars crossed the threshold, but Thanos ignored it. He had risen from his desk only 4 times in the last 2 days. He had not eaten in more than a day, and he still wore the same clothing he'd worn to the Silencurium days ago, adding only a data glove for easier and more precise hologram manipulation. He was haggard, and he stank, but he was focused, as though a lack of food had honed rather than starved his mind. He was staring at a holochart of data when his father thumbed open his bedroom door and stood in the doorway, enraged.
"You've been to see your mother,"
Alars began, his voice deep with wounded fury.
"Did you think I was so foolish as to not monitor the facility?" "I have no time for this," Thanos said, without even turning to glance at his father.
The holochart swiveled to the left. Numbers climbed. Thanos groaned. It was as he had suspected. It was all true.
You have... Alars strode into the room. You will rise and speak to me now, Thanos!
Thanos wrenched his attention away from the holograms. His father stood over him, cheeks flushed, eyes flashing. The chair floated back slightly, and Thanos stood, facing his father.
I have something to tell you, he told Alars. It's very important. I no longer trust your perception of importance if I ever did,
Alars said through clenched teeth.
You were specifically instructed not to seek out your mother, yet as soon as my back was turned, you took her from me!
Thanos shouted. He hadn't planned on allowing himself to be drawn into a conversation about his mother. There truly was something vastly more important to discuss, but his father's hypocrisy and sanctimony chafed at him.
You spirited her off and locked her away from me and from the world. Why should I trust your orders, father? Why should I trust you at all?
The words spilled out of him in a single breath, and he stood there, laboring to breathe as his father took a small step back. For the first time in his life, Thanos thought his father was reconsidering. Reconsidering what, he couldn't tell, but for Alars to reconsider at all was a monumental achievement.
Your mother went mad the moment she laid eyes on you, Alars said quietly. I took her away to protect you from her madness. It was a kindness to you, my son. A kindness,
Thanos ground his teeth together.
Kindness would have been to allow me to see her, at the very least, to speak her name, to tell me about her, to let her live in my mind, if not in my presence.
Alars clucked his tongue.
I can't expect you to understand. Your mind is exceptional, my son. But you are still a child, and you understand as do children. This is a matter for adults, and you have violated the rule I established for you. You gave me no choice.
I gave you every choice!
Alars thundered. The tattered remnants of his compassion, shredded by anger, blew away.
I gave you the choice to obey my commands and leave your mother alone! Do you have any idea how much harm she would have done to herself had not the synths intervened when they did? As it is, she seriously damaged one of them, and now I will have to spend at least a day salvaging it.
I weep for your pain, Thanos said with great sarcasm.
He touched his eyes for a moment. His fingers came away dry.
Ah, apparently not.
Alars fumed.
Your punishment will be greater than you.
Thanos shook his head wildly.
Father, there's no time for you to discipline me for such a small infraction. Small! You were explicitly told, not when there are more urgent and existential matters to consider.
Thanos turned to the desk and the multitude of holograms that floated there.
Where to begin?
A hand clapped onto his shoulder and spun him around. Alars seethed.
I am not accustomed to my child dismissing me so, and I will not become accustomed. Do you understand me, boy?
For the first time, Thanos noticed that he was taller than his father. Broader, too. Alars was a mere 2 meters tall and slender, whereas Thanos was at least a deci taller and disproportionately broader. It had happened more than a year ago, he realized, but he'd never felt it so viscerally before. Now, in this moment, he knew that he could end the argument in no uncertain terms with the simple expedient of a strong slap across his father's face. The idea, the image, raced through him, shuddering as it went. He repressed it with brute willpower.
Father, there is no time for us to argue. Our world is imperiled, and I need your wisdom to save it.
Alars opened his mouth to speak, then closed it. He shook his head and took a step back, as though he knew on some deeper, more instinctive level that Thanos had considered striking him.
Imperiled? Thanos, your mother's madness has infected you.
The mention of Sui-san again enraged Thanos. How dare Alars, the man who'd imprisoned her, speak so flippantly of her? Fists clenched, Thanos once again exercised enormous restraint. After long moments, He relaxed and unclenched his fists.
Father, I need your help.
It had worked with the synths, and now it paused the anger of their creator. Alars sighed.
You are of a certain age. Certain urges and desires are understood, and are now being sublimated into this anti-rational foolishness. I will arrange for—
Damn your arrangements, father!
Thanos thundered.
I am not a sex-starved adolescent yearning for consummation. I am your son. I am your equal in intellect, and I am telling you that our people are doomed!
Silence fell in the room. A silence as swallowed and whole as in the confines of the silent curium.
Doomed, you say?
When Alars finally spoke, it was with a haughty, sly humor.
Doomed.
Thanos had expected a different reaction from his father. Fear, perhaps. Or more likely, a knowing nod of the head. A flash of paternal pride. An acknowledgement that his offspring had achieved something enormous. Some part of him had suspected that perhaps Alars already knew what he himself had discovered in the past few days. Instead, Alars regarded him with scorn.
Doomed, father,
Thanos pressed on.
The numbers add up. I've done the math. We are massively overpopulated.
Alars barked a laugh and waved his hand dismissively, but Thanos continued.
Massively overpopulated. Yes, you've mitigated the crowding somewhat with the mentor plexus, staving off the worst of the impact. But that can't last forever. We're going to run out of room and material. The resultant environmental catastrophe will—
Alars shook his head slowly and sadly. Thanos gritted his teeth and changed tactics.
Such overcrowding also impacts hygiene and germ breeding. Even if you're able to hold off the environmental impact of building more mentor plexes and feeding the people within them, my models project multiple and eventually constant plague-level pathogens. Global pandemics that will devastate the population over and over. Because nature always seeks balance, and nature has no sympathy or compassion.
Like you,
he thought, but did not say. Alars said nothing for a long time. So long that Thanos had time to replay everything he'd said. Had he left anything out? He didn't think so. It had been 20 sleepless hours since the realization hit him. Since Cinta's offhand comment about the overflow being directed up had made him think of the cryo-magma beneath the Eternal City and its environs, made him think of what would happen if the cryo-volcanoes erupted, spewing ammonia and methane into the atmosphere. From there, he'd begun thinking of how to protect Titan from an environmental disaster, and while developing evacuation plans, he'd realized just how many people lived in the Eternal City. How many were crammed into this space? How many more were born every minute of every day? Titans were healthy, long-lived people. They died infrequently, and yet they kept breeding, and the result was a world rapidly draining itself dry. With science and with technology, they had forestalled the inevitable. But it was inevitable. The very same technology that delayed their doom merely changed probabilities and created new inevitabilities. When the reckoning came, it would be catastrophic. The problem with Titan was not Titan itself, was not the cryo-volcanoes and the threat of their freezing ammonia and methane. The flaw in Titan was too damned many people.
I should have said that. I should tell him that. With exactly those words.
He opened his mouth to speak, but Alars cut him off.
I don't know what failure of mine led you to this pass,
his father said, his voice bitter and harsh.
But rest assured, I will not allow you to infect our world with your fantasies of blight and rescue. No doubt you imagine that your discovery will change people's perceptions of you. You see yourself as a hero, yes?
Thanos looked down at the floor. A part of him, yes, imagined the relief and gratitude that would be his reward for his discovery. But that mattered little compared to the discovery itself.
Father,
he protested.
My math is impeccable. Data do not lie. Here.
He picked up a chip on which he'd encoded all his research and data.
Take this. Examine it yourself. You'll see that I am...
To his shock, Alarz slapped the chip from Thanos' hand.
Your bravado,
he scoffed,
is outstripped only by your hubris, Thanos. To think that you could perceive what I have not, what the others who run our world have not.
A brief, fragile laugh spurted from between Alarz's lips.
Speak of this to no one, and count yourself fortunate that you've embarrassed yourself before only me, not the public.
You would rather die than face the truth?
Thanos was incredulous.
That's a false dichotomy. I don't have to choose between the two. Truth is objective and eternal, Thanos. It lives on independent of us. Cold comfort from a grave.
With a non-committal grunt, Alarz turned to leave, pausing for a moment at the door to look back.
And rest assured that we will still have a conversation about the appropriate punishment for your visit to your mother.
Thanos stood perfectly still and expressionless until the door slid shut on his father, leaving him alone again. And then he cried out with pain and frustration and embarrassment, lifted his desk with his bare hands, and hurled it against the wall. It crashed with a resounding thud and a tinkle of glass, split almost down the middle but still intact. So he hefted it and swung it against the wall, this time satisfied as the desk splintered into pieces, crumbling in his hands. He turned his ire on the rest of the furniture in the room, and by the time he was done, there was not an intact item left. His room had become a junkyard of bent, broken, and crushed metal, glass, and plastic. Every step brought the satisfying crackle of something breaking even further under his foot. His back to a wall, Thanos sank to a sitting position, staring straight ahead. From above, the lights, damaged during his rampage, flickered, raising and killing shadows all around him. He did not move, but the random bursts of light made the room itself seem to shift and jitter in his orbit. He was at the center, the fulcrum, the focus, as light and dark played and warred. Steeped in darkness, exposed in light, he was the same, resolute. And he was right. He was right. He knew it to be true. He could see the end of Titan, the death of everything that lived in his world, and even his own father was too blind to see it. A pile of wires and scraps of metal rested next to him. Absently, he brushed it aside with one sweep of his hand. Beneath, a chip glimmered at him in the failing light. Thanos plucked it from the debris surrounding it and slid it into the port on his wrist. Data streamed to his headgear. It was the chip he'd meant for Alarz, a copy of all his data.
Our world is dying, so slowly that no one can see it.
He sat there for hours, triple-checking his math, then quadruple-checking it. A part of him yearned to be proven wrong, to find a mistake, even a simple one, one that a child would see. Anything at all. He wanted so desperately to be wrong. To submit to self-mockery, to have to debase himself by going to Alarz and saying those dreaded words,
Father, I was wrong and you were right.
But no matter how much he looked and calculated and recalculated, he could not find a flaw in his thinking or his conclusions. Titan was doomed. The fall of his race was inevitable. He ejected the chip and sighed heavily. Inevitable. Nature would take its course. The people of Titan could stave it off as long as possible with their technology. But in the end, death would ride through the Eternal City and dim its lights to utter blackness.
Inevitable.
He drifted off to sleep, thinking that word. It echoed in his mind, a sickening lullaby. As he awoke unknowable hours later, his head jerking up from his chest, he thought,
inevitable, but not unstoppable.
There was a way. The inevitability was a predicted outcome that relied on no one doing anything, on the present course of Titan remaining unchanged. But there was